All right. Welcome to the Nerdy Rat Podcast. This is episode zero. All right. That was our theme song. And I am Matt, and with me is Liz.
Yes, I am Liz.
And we are the Nerdy Rat Podcast. This is going to be our first episode, and we'll just do a brief introduction. I'm Matt, and Liz is my wife. We foster for Small Angels Animal Rescue in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area.
We also have our own pet rats, in addition to fostering.
Yes, we have. Well, how many do we have now? We have eight.
No, I think we have seven.
Do we have seven?
Yeah, because we just lost one of our rats the other week. I mean, she passed. We lost her.
She is. We do know where she went. But
yes, she is went no longer to with heaven. Us. Yes.
Yes, that was Doreen, and.
And she was actually in the Twilight program of Small Angels Rescue. So Small Angels Rescue is a no-kill animal shelter for rats. What else do they do?
They do guinea pigs, hamsters, mice.
Gerbils? Do they do gerbils?
I think they did do gerbils at one point, but I'm not sure if they still do.
You'd have to check their website.
If you go to thenerdyrat.com, there's a link to all of the adoptable animals pinned to the top of our page. So you can see all of them.
So because they're a no-kill rescue, if an animal is non-adoptable, like it ages out to the point where it's too old to be adopted, they'll put it in their Twilight program where they give it to a permanent foster family, and then they continue to pay for its medical care, but we keep them until they pass.
Yes, we currently have two other rats are in the Twilight program, Athena and
Tippy Toe.
Yes, Tippy Toe is actually rather young. I think she was an interesting case because she was found by herself, and we didn't know how old she was.
She was found outside.
That's right. She was found outside.
Yep. So. Someone found her as a stray. Now, babe, tell them how they know she was a stray, because I was confused. I said, how did they know she was a pet rat and not a wild rat?
Well, I think the main for her, with her specifically, is she's a what we refer to as a pink-eyed white.
So that means she has all white fur.
She's all white and she has pink eyes, and that typically you don't ever see that in the wild. That's a result of breeding in captivity. Is they will end up with the pink eyes and the white, and a lot of the lab rats you see look like that, and they think
Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah,
were they mice or were they rats?
I think they were rats, weren't they?
Pinky and the Brain.
Or were they mice?
They looked like rats. The animation made them look like rats.
Yeah. I always assumed they were rats. I never really thought that they were mice.
Yeah. So. Interesting. I'm going to rewatch that.
So at the beginning of each episode, I'd like to talk about our current foster animals that we have to kind of try and promote them and let people know about them. Right now, we have six little boys that are...
just babies.
They're
so precious. They're adoptable.
They are growing fast. I would estimate they're anywhere between 1 to 2 months.
Probably, yeah.
Do we remember? Let's see.
No, they're older than that because they're already weaned.
That's true. Yeah, so they've got to be between two and three months.
Yeah,
I think.
Between 2 and 3 months.
No, they weren't born. These aren't them. I'm looking for their ad on Pet Finder.
Yeah. So we have six right now. They're all brothers. They're adoptable in as many as 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. I believe there's currently somebody has put an application for two of them.
Right. So four are still available.
You can adopt either 2 or 4. And I'm looking. So, yeah. So they were born mid-December.
Okay.
So they're about two months now, which is a great time to adopt them. And they're all very, very friendly. They were friendly as soon as we brought them home. They are very sweet.
Very tame. They love people. They love interacting with people. They're not skittish or shy, which some babies can be at first.
Yeah, usually we get one or two in every group that's like really shy, that doesn't want to be handled, or just runs away. And there aren't really any in this group that are really like that. Like, maybe some a little bit, but, like, they all, like, once one of them starts playing, all of them will come up to the cage and start interacting with me if I play with one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them are actually mostly hairless. We thought they were going to be, some of them are Rex fur, and some of them are, two of them that we thought were going to be Rex fur actually, I think, are mostly hairless.
And they Rex have, fur is curly, by the way. That means they have curly hair, which is very cute.
And they have curly whiskers, too.
Curly whiskers, yes.
And at least two of them have Dumbo ears as well. They must have come from a very mixed lineage, because they're all brothers, and they all look different.
Yes, and now Dumbo ears, the difference between Dumbo and regular, Dumbo ears are positioned on the side of their head, and regular rat ears are on the top of their head.
Yeah.
So Dumbos are very cute. They look just precious.
They also have adorable little faces, and they always look slightly sad.
The Dumbos, maybe a little bit.
Like, they always kind of look like they're, like they have their eyebrows turned down, like a little sad face, giving you a little sad face. So.
Yeah, they always make you want to give them attention, that's for sure. So two of them are almost hairless. And the hairless ones can be really cute, too. But they actually, these boys have just a little bit of fur, like a little bit of peach fuzz. So it's pretty cute.
And I don't know, like, in my experience, and this is probably not everyone's, because I don't think, like, breeding really affects behavior as much. But it seems like every hairless we've had has just been a complete sweetheart, like...
Yeah, like we've fostered several hairless ones, and they've all been pretty sweet.
The one that we call Snugglebug.
Yes.
It's just the friendliest out of all of these boys. And he has a little... We had this little miniature bed that we gave him that's like almost like a mini cat bed, and he just loves to lay in it, and he will...
Yeah, it's like no bigger than the palm of your hand, so it's like this tiny, tiny, tiny little cushy bed, and he just curls up in it, and he fits in it perfectly, and he loves it. His brothers sometimes will get in there with him or get on top of him, but Snugglebug is always in there, and if... I'm not sure if he's one of the two who's going to be adopted, but if not, he is the semi-hairless one who's got the black and white markings
on him. Yeah, he's hooded, and the other hairless one is almost all... He's basically a pink-eyed white with some patches of fur, but mostly hairless. And when he was younger, he had more fur, but it just kind of... He kind of grew out of it as he got older.
Yeah.
You know, I would adopt Snugglebug and the other hairless one if we weren't already at seven rats.
Yeah, we already have a lot of rats.
So,
let's talk about spay and neutering, because that's part of the consideration for us too when we're going to adopt rats.
For this first episode, I kind of want to go over. I wanted to just talk about some of the key points that I think is important to consider before you adopt, and we always encourage you to adopt whenever possible.
Instead of buying from a pet store.
Well, yeah, and some people don't have a choice because of where they live, but I don't really agree with that. Like, okay, if you don't have a rescue in your area, you rescue, like, local shelters still take in rats.
Yes.
And a lot of times local shelters have no idea how to care for the rats.
Exactly.
And they don't really know what to do with them. And you can go on adoptapet.com and you can set up a search where basically anytime an animal that you with specifications that you specify, they'll email you that they're available in your area.
And Adopt-A-Pet just works with nonprofits, rescues, things, animal shelters, things like that.
So animals that need homes will be in there. And if you live in an area that doesn't have a rescue and you want a pet rat, I highly recommend just spending the time and look for ones that you can adopt, because they come up pretty often. And if there isn't a rescue, which a lot of areas there are, you know, you
try your animal shelter.
Yeah, your animal shelter will get them. If they're not in the moment that you get the urge to get a new family member, if you wait just a little bit, I think you'll find that one will become available, because people give up these pets
all the time.
And we, like, over the past 4 years now that I've... Has it been 4 years?
Probably about
years?
4 years. You've probably been doing it about 4 years.
I was going to look up the exact date for the podcast, but I didn't actually remember to do that. But I know it was like 2013, I think, was when I started. I want to say it's August of 2013.
Yes, that's about 4 years.
You know, the rats that I got before that came from Petco because I didn't even like think about adopting. And it's not that I didn't want to. It's just I wanted rats, and the only place I knew to go to get a rat was Petco, and they were the only ones that had females, which is what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And but after I adopted, or after I got four from Petco, I had the sense to go and Google it and realize that there was a rescue right here in my area that does rescues for rats.
And I'd like to interject that before I knew Matt as well, I had pet parakeets, and which I had just gotten at PetSmart. And same thing, I didn't think to look for shelters. And what I discovered later is that shelters get in pet parakeets all the time. So after one of my birds died and I wanted to get a second one, I got mine from a shelter. And so just consider any kind of pets you want, you're going to be able to find at a shelter.
Yeah.
People give them up.
And one thing I found with pets, with especially with birds that you get from like PetSmart and Petco, like they're never, ever like handled. And the same with rats.
Yeah, they're
too.
Very skittish. Very
with all
skittish.
Their animals, like they've probably never been handled by a person until you get them home. And some you can work with if you're patient enough, but also a lot of the breeders that supply these like Petco, PetSmart with their animals are, I mean, they're a business. They do it to make money, and you know, it's really not like I don't think a breeder like that is ever really going to be great for animals, and you're going to have a lot of health concerns. Like most of the rats that we see come from pet stores usually have at least respiratory problems.
Well, and let's go back to spay and neuter because we started talking
about that. Yeah. Okay.
So here's why you want to spay and neuter a pet rat, hopefully before they're a year old.
Yeah, really.
There's really no point in doing it after they're a year, unless, of course, you have mixed genders. You don't want your babies. You don't want to have babies. But
yeah,
other than that.
Also, it always keep an eye on like it's frequent that you hear people come home with a pet rat from the pet store.
A pair of pet rats that they thought were same sex,
and they weren't,
and then they end up with babies. In fact, we just got a lot into our rescue from that same situation. Someone had brought home a pair of pet rats. Turned out mom was pregnant. She had four babies, and then no, that was a different case. That was the one who wasn't even a pair. She bought a rat from the pet store,
and
it was pregnant.
Yeah. And then she kept the boys in.
Then she kept
long,
the boys in
the,
with the girls.
All the girls that
past
were
5 weeks. You have to separate boy and girl baby rats at 5 weeks. That's sexual maturity. And then two of the baby girls got pregnant and then had litters. And then guess what? They got pregnant again.
Yeah.
And had second litters before the rescue was able to intervene.
So let's talk about spaying specifically for just a moment. So I've always kept female rats, and I like female rats because they have a tendency to smell a little bit better than the boys.
I mean, the boys can be a little stinky.
And yeah. And so I'd always kept them. And one thing I noticed with my girls is they frequently get tumors when they get to be over a year old.
Mm-hmm. They get mammary tumors.
I lost three or four down in Florida when I was keeping rats before I really knew any of this. And, you know, we always had to put them down because, like, you're either going to spend over $200 on a surgery to get a tumor removed. And that's if you can find a vet that's willing to do it, because we have great vets in this area. And so we
that
will frequently
specialize in small mammals
there's a great vet in this area that is very, very well versed in doing surgery on rats. And we've had her remove a number of tumors for us. It's gone really well. However, if you spay a female rat before 6 months, it virtually eliminates the chance of them getting tumors and pituitary tumors too, which are untreatable. And when a rat gets it has to be put down because it is no longer able to feed itself.
Right. So we've had issues with a lot of rats in the rescue, especially that we've cared for in the Twilight program. They get the mammary tumors, and those can be removed. And the rescue will actually pay to do that because they believe in extending the rat's life as long as possible, as long as it's, you know, in good condition.
Yeah.
However, the mammary tumors tend to come back. So we've had girls who've had to have multiple surgeries.
Yep. And so Also, spaying them will prevent both of those types of tumors as long as it's done before 6 months.
Yeah.
And just to give you some practical information on that, and since I've started spaying all of my personal rats, I have had none of them develop these tumors.
Mm-hmm.
And out of, like, probably what we've had, I want to say we've had maybe six unspayed girls that were came from the Twilight program that were not spayed mm-hmm. prior to 6 months, and by the time we got them, it was no longer worth it to spay them. And I think out of those six, I think at least four of them developed mammary yeah. tumors, and several of them developed
multiple
tumors that had to be. I know one girl we had three, and I think mm-hmm. another one we had two or three.
Yeah,
and then Doreen, who just passed, she had one, and she kept pulling her site open, and we ended up. I think the rescue ended up spending $600-$700
yeah.
or more on care. So, yeah. like, really, if you're going to have female rats, it's more cost-effective to get them spayed.
Yes.
Because even if, like, there's a place, we have to drive, like, an hour to go to a place that'll do it for $75. But even if I spent $150 to have it done locally, it's still worth it. Because
yes.
you got to consider, like, when you're adopting a pet, you're committing to... You're committing to spend money on this animal. Even if it's like they get really sick and you have to put them down, you still have to spend money to have them put down humanely.
Right.
So really you're just managing your costs by getting the spayed, and they live longer, they're happier, and mm-hmm. you don't have to worry about it. And like dealing with aftercare from a tumor surgery is just a nightmare.
It's difficult. And now I do want to say though, our rat, in case you're thinking, oh my gosh, why did you give Doreen all these surgeries? Wouldn't it have been kinder just to put her down? She did recover from that. She did recover from pulling out her stitches, and she lived probably at least another 6 months having a very happy life.
Yeah.
So it's not like it was, you know, a torturous end of the world kind of thing that she had these surgeries and whatever. But I mean, it would have been happier for her to have the spay surgery, which is minimally invasive and typically doesn't have too many complications, versus the having tumors removed, which is a much more complicated surgery.
Yeah, the recovery time on the spay surgery is minimal. Like,
yeah,
they usually give us pain meds to give them, but they're
up and running around the same day.
Not affected by it. And I've only had one girl pull out her stitches from a spay where mm-hmm. I had to have it reclosed. And that was Mag, I think. That was the first Mag.
Oh, Mag the first.
Yes.
Aww.
I ended up getting all of those girls that I got from Petco spayed.
Yeah.
And,
so but that's important. Spay and neuter is
important.
Spay and
neuter, you gotta think of the cost, like
right.
in the lifetime of a rat. Just in vet costs alone, like if you get them spayed or neutered, and then mm-hmm. you know, at some point in their life, you're probably going to have to go in and have them put down if they get sick to the point where they're suffering. I think that's better than letting them suffer till they eventually die.
Right.
And you know, there's a lot of other things. I've had rats get sprained feet where they had to have medicine for that, and we had to go to the vet for that. I've had them get wheezy, where like they all rats carry this bacteria called myco, commonly referred to.
And now it's not contagious to humans.
It's not
safe
contagious
for humans.
It's not contagious to humans
or
pretty
other
much,
pets. Doesn't affect cats or dogs.
Yeah, pretty
like
much
that.
All rats have it in the United States. A lot of them are kind of immune to it. Like it doesn't affect them as much. Some are affected more. And
so it results
what
happens, like in wheezing, hooting, coughing kind
yeah.
of things.
And as they get older, they're going to start to succumb to that more. So mm-hmm. you're going to want to keep them on
and
antibiotics.
Antibiotics can help sometimes.
Yeah. And the thing with myco too, if they have a flare up of it, a lot of times they'll treat it with a mix of antibiotics from your vet, and
mm-hmm.
and that will control it and mm-hmm. and allow them. But it's not really a cure. So it's something that has to be kind of monitored throughout mm-hmm. a rat's life. If mm-hmm. if you hear your rat squeaking, if you've named your rat Squeaks like I did because they squeak, that may be a sign that something is wrong.
Now, not if they're squeaking if somebody's wrestling them and pinning yeah. them down. Not in dominant yeah. struggles, but if they're just
kind
of squeaking,
sitting there
hooting.
And they're like, hee, hee, like, then you definitely want to get them checked out.
Definitely. So. And let's talk too, the life of a rat is only 2 to 3 years. So that is something to consider if you're thinking about having pet rats and you've never had them before. They are so precious. They are so wonderful, but they will break your heart again and again and again. Now, I still love them, and that doesn't prevent me from just going right out and adopting another one. But it is hard. You don't have them for very long, and you love them so much, and they have such individual little personalities, and you lose them pretty quickly.
Yeah, you know what drives me crazy is when you go to these pet stores and they're like, you read their documentation, they're like, oh, this is a good animal for a child because they don't live that long. It's like,
terrible.
Are you ready? Is your child ready to learn about death? Then get this animal because in 2 to 3 years,
yeah,
you'll be having that talk with your child.
Yeah, that...
I don't think it makes it any less of it. Like, people think it's like, well, rat's only $10. It's like, well, I can go adopt a dog for $50. Like, it's still,
yeah, at the shelter,
that has
you're
nothing
not pay
to
that
do
much.
With
right.
my emotional attachment to that
right.
animal. Like,
so let's talk about the personalities of rats and why they are such amazing pets.
You know,
pets.
I think a lot of people, we hear people with questions coming into the rescue, like, you know, oh, what does this rat look like? Or what does that rat look like? You know, and they're like, oh, can you take pictures of them? And then they pick the rats based on what they look like. And that's like, I've never really cared about what the rats look like. They're cute. Like, don't get me wrong. Dumbo
cute.
Rats are adorable.
Yes.
Okay. But I would rather adopt an animal based on its personality than it's what it looks like. And I mean, like,
and
personality,
rats have
like
such
you,
distinct personalities
you,
once you get to know
yeah,
them.
If you have a rat that's like aggressive, you can work with them and you can probably get them to stop biting you. And I've done it with the mama rat that we had
a couple months ago. Now, again, not all rats bite, and they're typically most often going to bite you if you put your hand in their hammock while they're sleeping, or you put your hand in their box while they're sleeping, put your hand in their igloo while they're sleeping. That's when you're likely to get nipped. But there are some that are more aggressive who are just scared. They haven't been tamed well.
Yeah. The rat coordinator for Small Angels really gives me a hard time because I have a tendency to just pick up rats without letting them sniff my hand beforehand, because I'm just used to rats who are not bitey, and I think
so. I have to I say she may be a little justified in giving
yeah,
you a hard
well,
time.
Well,
you just stick
had,
your hand in there. And
I've
scare
had
them.
More interaction. Like I've known very few rats that bite, and it's usually there's usually story as to why they bite. It's usually because they've been abused or they've never had any interaction,
yeah,
and
skittish.
They're scared, and it's one of their defenses. But
right,
I mean,
but you can train them out of it with love and gentleness and just
yeah.
patient training.
Just
you can get them over it. We had the one who we're calling Mama, who was this one who was the poor little girl who got pregnant by the brother, got pregnant again by the brother. She
had
14 babies while she was living in our house with her other 8 babies.
Yes, we had 14 baby rats.
She was, yeah, she had been impregnated the second time by the time the rescue was able to get her. So we called her Mama because she certainly had plenty of babies. And she started out being very nippy because she was caring for all these babies.
She wasn't just nippy.
She
straight up took chunks out of my hand multiple times.
Yeah, she was scared. She was scared. She came from a bad situation.
She was protective of
She ended up
too.
So sweet. She became the sweetest little girl because we just, you know, Matt practiced picking her up with gloves and handling her real gently, and we would let her sniff our fist. We'd give her treats all the time so she'd get used to getting treats.
By the time that she went to go live with another foster.
For her forever foster.
Yeah, her forever foster into the Twilight program. I would just reach in and grab her without even letting her know I was there, and she had no problem with it. And
she was fine with me too.
But
she
not,
was more
not
comfortable
all rats,
with Matt at first, but
now not all rats that bite will have. Not all rats can be rehabilitated. Because
no, that is
true. Every rat is different, just like every person is different.
That
every,
is true.
Every rat I've ever had has had a distinct personality. So let's talk about some of the other concerns you want to think about before you adopt.
Oh, before we do that, though, let's interject. If you do adopt a rat from Small Angels Rescue and it happens to turn out to be aggressive and you cannot work with it, you can call the rescue back up and they will work with you. They will take the rat back. They will swap it out for a different rat. They will not abandon that rat. So you don't have to feel like you're going to be stuck. And also, they'll let you know ahead of time if it tends to bite, and they try not to adopt out the biting ones at first. They try to rehabilitate them first, or they put them into twilight. But just in case, you have a guarantee that we will work with you.
When Small Angels takes an animal into the rescue, that's for the life of that animal. And if for any reason anybody can no longer, who's adopted a rat from them, can no longer take care of it, they do take it back.
Yes.
And that is what the Twilight program is set up for.
Right.
So let's see, cage. Let's go over some cage requirements.
Yes, do not buy those tiny little cages that you get at the pet store. They are too small.
Let me just, you know, when I lived in Florida, I was a young kid and I didn't really, like, the internet wasn't, like, we didn't Google everything back then. Like, we had Google, but we didn't really know to use it for everything. So, like, I had pet rats for a while. And I just didn't know anything, and I kept them in aquariums. And you never want to do that. But I did that for years because I thought it was okay, and I tried to play with them a lot. And
so explain why aquariums are bad. Yeah.
Aquariums are bad mostly.
Well, is it because of the smooth sides?
It's because of everything. It's because it's not ventilated. So when they pee, the urine just kind of builds up. Oh. And that's bad for their respiratory issues.
That's going to aggravate the respiratory issues.
Also, generally, aquariums are never big enough for a rat. Mm-hmm. And they're generally, like, you can give them toys and stuff, but, like, there's just not enough space, bad ventilation. It's just never really a good idea. Now, I've seen some people take aquariums and put, like, a giant wire thing on top of it. Like, that's kind of okay, but I'm still not a fan of it.
No, it's still not going to let the air flow through it.
Yeah. Now, I know a lot of people get the Pet Manor from PetSmart, which I had for a couple of years. And I think for two rats, it's not the worst cage. I really do not like it. When I got, I had two rats in there for a couple of years, and then I got a third and a fourth, and it was just clearly way too small for four rats. And when I got my newer cages, too, I realized, like, the problem with the Pet Manor is that it is not really wide enough. So, like, they've got a lot of space to crawl up and down, but they don't have, like, anywhere. Like, you can barely fit a wheel in there for them. And it's just kind of a smallish cage. I think the minimum I would get now would be, like, a Martin 680, which is the standard cage that our rescue uses for all of our fosters.
They require, if you're going to adopt a rat, I'm pulling up the rat care sheet now from Small Angels, but they require that you have a minimum size.
Our coordinator will not let you adopt if you do not have an appropriate cage for your rat. And
so, I think the rescue says we require at least an R680 rat lodge or R695 rat skyscraper.
Yeah.
Powder coated cages last longer and are nicer on little rat paws versus a galvanized
and
cage.
The 680, like, really, like a Pet Manor is like $80 at PetSmart, and you can get a used 680 for like $100. I know the rescue actually sells like a whole kit that comes with like the 680 and everything you need to basically get started, and like hammocks and everything. It's like $150, I think.
It's something we can find. We'll post a link to the exact
I am pretty small.
Purchase. But if you adopt from Small Angels, you can buy the kit from us and it'll give you the cage and the hammocks and everything you need. Yeah. There's also a rat calculator to figure out how much space your rats will need, and we'll post a link to that on our site as well.
Yeah, it's basically just 6 cubics, because I think it's like so many cubic
feet. It's about
feet
two
per
and a
rat.
Half. It's 2.5 cubic feet, I think, per rat.
Yeah, but if you're gonna have two rats, I recommend the Martin 680.
The Martin 680. Yeah.
What I'm using now, but what I've had for a while is the Critter Nation, which is
very
also
nice.
They sell a generic version of it at PetSmart, which is actually what I have right now. It's the exact same cage. What is it called? It's called like the.
Oh, I can't even remember.
It's PetSmart.
Yeah, it was at PetSmart. So the Critter Nation is nice because it's got
it's two levels.
The Martin's. Yeah. Well, you can get it as one level. There's a one level one and a two level one, but it's got two doors that swing out, so you have a lot of access. It's like the whole front of the cage opens up as double doors, so you can have a lot of access to get to your rats. Whereas the Martin's cage, it still has a fairly large front door, but it's not like the whole front of the cage opens up.
You can go to PetSmart. It's called All Living Things Multi-Level Small Animal Cage, and it's $200.
Okay.
I mean, If you're going to have animals, get it.
That's for the double.
That's the double.
So that'll hold about what? Like 8 rats?
I mean, according to the calculator, you can fit 12 rats in there. I think that's really pushing it. My personal belief is get the biggest cage you can afford. Get the biggest cage and give them the most room, because
animals are living beings.
You're not always going to feel like playing with your rats. Like, that's just a fact of life. And the more space they have, the happier they will be on their own.
Yes. And all animals need enrichment. They need interaction. They need stimulation, mental stimulation, physical stimulation. So the bigger cage you have, the more playtime they're going to have, the more exploring they can do, the more their little brains are going to get exercised, the healthier they will be.
Yeah. And the more they will like you.
Yes. The more they will like you. So why don't we talk about diet concerns for rats? What do you want to feed them and not feed them?
So there's a couple of different ways you can go about this. There's Sue's rat mix. That's like a list of a bunch of different things. Let's see. Where is it? So on rat. Yeah. Subi's rat diet. This is actually kind of what I based. And some of the stuff I have trouble finding sometimes. And it's like dried fruit, pasta, sunflower seeds, and then oats, wheat cereal, puffed rice cereal, total cereal. You want any cereal you get, you want to try and get ones that don't have sugar, but almost all of them do. So, but and pretty much a rat can eat anything a human can eat, with a few exceptions. But the things that are bad for us are also bad for them. And I think it's even worse because they don't live as long, and they're affected by smaller amounts of things. So kind of keep that in mind. But for like a staple diet, you want to have like a good rat block. Like what we're currently using and what the rescue recommends is Harlan Techlad 2014, which
that's like a dry pellet kind of thing.
Yeah, it's
it gives them the right amount of protein that they need. It gives them
The important thing is we used to feed them dog food, like senior dog food that had 18% protein. That wasn't really great for them. And also there was a study done where they found like an optimal diet for a rat is actually a lower, like 14% protein, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Harlan Techlad 2014, you can order it on Amazon and it's 14% protein.
So that's perfect for the rats.
If you have no other options, you can always get I go with the Oxbow rat food.
PetSmart, Petco. Yeah, I'm sure you can find that anywhere.
You can order that on Amazon too. You can order
we'll put links and we'll put all these products on the show notes so you can look at and browse these things if you want to.
Yeah.
We feed them like a mix of dry food in the morning that includes their protein. It usually has some dry oatmeal in there, some dry pasta, some shredded wheat. Some Cheerios maybe. And then in the evening, we can feed them a variety of things. We frequently do frozen peas and corn that we cook, of course. And then
I'd like to give them mixed vegetables, but they never eat any of the other vegetables.
We tried to give them mixed
peas
vegetables, but they always would ignore the green beans, the carrots, the lima beans. They would just leave them in the bowl.
I don't know what's in a pea, but it's delicious.
It's delicious. And corn too.
Rats,
corn is even better, apparently.
The rats don't even eat the outside of the pea. They eat the inside.
It's so
of it.
Cute. It's like they suck the inside out, like they're little vampires or something.
It's mostly important to make sure they get a variety of food.
Like they like oatmeal, they like scrambled eggs, they like
I need to make ours.
No,
more
I would
scrambled
stay away
eggs.
From meat. Yeah, stay away from meat.
Yeah, meat. I don't think meat is really great for rats. Like
no,
I'm because like. They're not going to, like, you got to think about when they're out in nature, what are they going to be eating? They're going to be scavenging. They're not going to be eating a lot of chicken. Like,
no.
Rat, you don't see a lot of rats out there killing chickens and eating them.
No.
And the reason why they thrive so well in cities is they basically eat our garbage. And
yeah,
they get fat
the
in
leftover
our garbage.
Food. So, yeah.
So, yeah.
So those are diet
Those are all the things to think about. Those are some things to think about before you decide to adopt a rat.
And as far as just some other things for habitat, you need to have a wheel so they can run. You need to have an igloo so they have somewhere to hide. Some hammocks. There's some special rat hammocks, and we can actually put a link to Small Angels, which sells them. Or I can also post a pattern if you want to sell your own.
The rat coordinator for our rescue does
she sews them herself,
them.
And then she sells
you,
them.
You can find them on Etsy and like Etsy, online.
I'm sure.
And also like
I mean, I make it myself too. They're
a
fun.
Lot of times if you're looking for toys or just cage items for your rat, mm-hmm. look at any of the ferret items because I think ferret items are generally they're too small for ferrets, but they're perfect for rats.
They are. They're perfect for
rats. Like
we have this little hanging pirate ship in our
cage. Yeah, that's
right
that's
now.
Supposed
the
to be for a ferret.
Love
isn't it.
It's too small for a ferret. But the rats
that could
love
fit
it.
Maybe one ferret. And just understand that anything you put in a rat cage is going to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So don't
right,
put
exactly. Your hammocks are going to get ripped up. I mean, you know, yeah. but they like to sit in them. They like things they can hide in. They need some things to chew on to keep their
teeth
down. Yeah,
that's why, like, the mix I use, I always try to include, like, some pasta because I think pasta is really good for rats to chew on them because their teeth are always growing. So they need to be using those teeth to get them down. And sometimes when they get older, when they can't eat as much, you'll see mm-hmm. that their teeth start to kind of grow out of control.
And you might need to take them to the vet
and get
those filed.
And the vet can clip them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's needed if they're overgrown. So.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you need things for them to chew on. And you can get those at the pet store. You can get, like, a snack shack. You can get some wood blocks for them to chew on, some thick cardboard boxes, anything like that that you would find in the pet aisle of the store. But, yeah, that's important to keep their teeth ground down far enough.
Yep. Okay, so let's move on to the nerdy part of
the nerdy part of the nerdy rat.
So we saw Lego Batman last week.
Yes, Lego Batman. I loved it. I thought it was the perfect Batman movie.
It really was, and I feel like Lego, whoever's making these Lego movies, like, can't do anything wrong. Like,
they are smart. Like, they are funny.
Yeah, like, and I mean, like. How many Batman movies have it, like we like Batman movies are coming out like every 6 months at this
point.
And
trust me, we see all of them.
And it's like, how do you, I was really curious like how they were going to handle it. And like the first opening scene where I think included like every Batman villain ever, like including such greats as the Condiment King and Gentleman Ghost.
Oh, Egghead. King Tut.
Egghead.
Yeah, it had like the 60s. TV
not only that,
ones, it had the
not only
comic
that,
ones.
But it had the Two-Face, Billy Dee Williams as Two-Face.
Yes, yes.
Which
now he only had a couple lines, which disappointed me.
I would love to watch an entire movie.
I know Billy Dee Williams because, Two-Face. Of course, remember as any nerd listening to this show knows, but a non-nerd might not know. He was, of course, Harvey Dent in the Michael Keaton Batman movie.
That's correct.
Yes.
And that's why
he was replaced as Two-Face by Tommy Lee Jones. But he was the first. Target.
And, you know, this movie was a little bit of a tearjerker, I feel like, especially for Batman. Like,
yeah,
they really focused on the Bat family a lot. And like,
yes.
The whole story is about how Bruce Wayne has kind of shut everybody out of his life because mm-hmm. he lost his parents.
Exactly.
And how about this? Here it's a Batman movie where they don't have to show you the death of his parents.
Yes, they didn't.
Because apparently that's like every time you have Batman, you got to show his parents.
No, they did have a family photo. They did have a family photo.
Yeah, they had the family photo, but it was more of like him. It wasn't showing him dying. Like,
no, it wasn't a crime scene photo.
It was like a selfie he took of his parents. He's like looking at he's looking at them fondly, remembering. And that was like a nice tie-in later to when he kind of finally accepts that like he needs to let people into mm-hmm. his life mm-hmm. and
yeah it was very touching important. It was very touching, but it was also very hilarious.
Yeah, and the whole relationship between him and Joker was great too, where Joker's like, why won't you say that you hate me, why won't you say that I'm your he's like, who's your greatest villain? He's like, Superman. He's like, he's not a villain.
Oh, it was perfect. Like, just the dynamic of them needing each other, needing to hate each other, and the hurt that Joker feels at one point when his eyes well up and like he starts to cry. Oh my goodness, it rips your heart out.
I really appreciated Zach Galifianakis as Joker too, because he was just playing it kind of straight. He wasn't really trying to do like an impression of anyone else's Joker.
No, and he didn't need to because the writing was so good. I mean, the dynamic between Joker and Batman was so well thought out that he really didn't need to add all these crazy antics to it. Like, the story was good.
And I think they had a reference to every single Batman.
Oh, every Batman.
Ever.
And it was, I mean, every single one.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was great. And I appreciated that they had a lot of female characters in it. The only starring one was Barbara Gordon.
Yeah.
But who was, by the way, played by Rosario Dawson, who, of course, is Night Nurse from, what is that? The Daredevil, right?
Well, she's been in all of the Marvel Netflix films as Night Nurse.
Not the films, the TV shows.
Yeah, the TV shows.
Yeah, Night Nurse. But I liked that they actually really did try to bring some more equality to it. The mayor was a woman. Chief O'Hara was a woman.
Was Mariah Carey, right?
Yeah, the mayor was Mariah Carey, rocking it.
Well, and, I like the idea of Commissioner Gordon retiring and then Barbara.
Yeah, Barbara took over for him. So she had over. And she was a well thought out role. She wasn't. I felt like she wasn't necessarily overly stereotyped as a woman is in this role. I mean, it was a little different, but I felt like it was done in a fair way.
I thought it was done really mm-hmm. cleverly. Like,
yeah.
And you know, I really wish some of the other people making Batman movies would look at this and be like,
take a hint.
Like, hey, here's an actual thought out story about characters, and not only about good characters,
right, character-driven.
But the relationships between those characters. Because I mean, like, I feel like every DC movie that comes out is like there's some MacGuffin out there that we need to stop, and that's all it's about. Like, mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Or it's like so dark that it's just not fun. Like, I think a lot of the DC movies lately have just like they've tried too hard. They've tried to be Nolan's Batman, which I mean was good, but like they've kind of taken the tack like. If we just make everything dark, it's going to be good. And that's.
Yeah. And this was great because I think it embraced Batman's darkness, but it also kind of showed that was a problem in his life. And it really did a nice job of like using that to kind of juxtapose that with how he needed to let more people in. And even his dynamic with Joker, like, hey, Batman, you need a Joker in your life.
Yeah. That, it, you know, let's talk about the music in that movie.
Oh, the beginning. Yes.
I think all the music in the movie, but like.
Oh, they had the soundtrack from what, the 80s. It was great.
All the music in the movie is good. But one thing that's really nice, too, is like in the first fight scene, the music is this song that Batman has written. He's like, I'm Batman. It's so great.
Heavy metal rap.
This idea that like he's so egocentric that he's like going to write his own theme song, you know?
Exactly.
And it just fits it. Like Will Arnett is so great at Lego Batman. It's really such a great take on the character because
it's authentic. It's funny and it mocks.
It's amazing that we're saying this about a Lego movie.
But, I mean, it pokes fun at all the things about Batman that are a little bit too precious that need poking fun at. But at the same time, it's so authentic to who the character of Batman is.
Yeah. Yeah. And they just get it. Like whoever's on these teams making these movies gets it, you know?
Like, I don't know if we should give spoilers, but we already kind of have been. But when Batman shows up to the Fortress of Solitude and the Justice League is having a party without him that they didn't invite him to. Oh, my God. It's so funny.
Yeah. Oh, and Michael Cera as Robin, too.
Oh, great.
So great. Like when he picks out his costume and he's got the pants on and he's like, oh, wait, there's something. And then he rips the pants off.
Oh yeah! Oh,
and the whole
funny moments.
The whole thing was like, is he your son? It's like it's better if he's your son.
Yeah, yeah. No, there was a lot of great moments in there.
Yeah, I hope the Batman movie that Ben Affleck is making is this good. But I'm starting to have my doubts because now this week they're talking about how they're having trouble with the negotiations for the director that they're trying to get. They had picked a director.
You know,
negotiations kind of fell apart.
I did not think Batman versus Superman was as bad as everybody said it was. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty well done. And I think they're taking in a little bit too much of all that criticism.
You know, when I first
saw it. And I think they've lost their confidence.
You know, I felt the same way you did when we first saw it and we talked about it.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy it. But like the more I thought about it, the less I kind of liked it as a movie as a whole, because I feel like it really was kind of over, like it was darker than it really needed to be.
Yeah, but I guess I feel like if you're not going to be Lego poking fun at the Batman-Superman rivalry, I mean, a rivalry between Batman and Superman is dark. I mean, by nature, it's going to be dark.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I liked it. Like, I was okay with it when I first saw it. And then after watching Suicide Squad...
Suicide Squad, don't even get me started. Amanda Waller, amazing. I would watch that movie again just for her performance. Who played Amanda Waller? Was it Viola Davis?
Yeah, I think it was Viola Davis. And you know what I was thinking about too the other day was like with Superman vs. Batman. Like, I have no desire to see that movie again. Like, do you want to watch it again?
I would watch it again.
Really?
Yeah, I would. I liked it. And I liked, I liked it. I thought it was a good movie. I would watch it again.
Well, hopefully the Batman movie will be good. I think Ben Affleck is really good as Batman. I think it's good that
Ben Affleck was a good Batman.
I think it's good that he's not going to try and direct it because
that would have been a mess.
I mean, he's not so full of himself. He's like, I can do everything. Although that might be appropriate for the persona of Batman to be like,
I can do everything
on my own. But I think Ben Affleck is smart. I think he's a very good artist, and I think he knows his limits too.
Yeah, I think he did a good job playing the role.
I know apparently like Kevin Smith has said this would never happen, but I would love to see Kevin Smith direct a Batman movie for Ben Affleck because I think he would do a really good job at it. Because
Kevin Smith, yeah, he would do a good job. We've just been watching The Flash and it's not a Netflix series, but the TV series, The Flash. And Kevin Smith has directed some of the episodes in season two.
The only one we saw that he directed was the Runaway Dinosaur episode.
That was the only one he directed.
But that was the best episode of that season.
It was a good episode. It was a good episode.
But that whole show was great. Yeah. If you haven't seen The Flash, go see it. The Arrow is terrible.
Don't watch The Arrow. Oh my goodness. I don't want to be too mean, but sometimes they have the Arrow actors on The Flash to do like crossovers and stuff. Some of them are fine. I'm not going to name names. Some of those actors are fine and I like them just fine. But some of them are clearly less qualified and the writing is less.
The writing goes to shit every time the Arrow team shows up. It's noticeably worse.
Yes, but The Flash is great. So great series. Seasons 1 and 2 are on Netflix right now.
I keep asking people like when Arrow gets good, and they're like, "Oh, season 2 gets good." And like, I'm at the end of season 1, and it's kind of getting better. I wouldn't say it's getting good. Like, I like the Felicity character.
Yeah, I like Felicity
when she shows up.
Well, I like her when she's on The Flash.
She becomes like more of a permanent part towards the end of season 1. Where I'm at right now in season 1 of Arrow, but. One thing I realized when watching the first season of Arrow, it's just Batman Begins with Arrow. Like, the story is ripped straight out of Batman Begins.
Yeah, I guess like, so.
Well,
I had to bail out after watching. I know you haven't seen it, but I
kept watching those episodes, and basically the end of season 1 is the exact end. If you go back and watch Batman Begins, it's the exact same story. They're talking about destroying the city, just like the League of Shadows did in Batman Begins, and I was like... Oh my goodness. This is Batman. And I think that's what they were really going for. I guess they couldn't get like a Batman TV show. So they were like, well, let's just do Arrow and make him Batman, I guess. And I mean, I don't know. At least it gave us The Flash. The Flash is amazing.
The Flash is great. The guy
who's playing Flash, like, he gets that character.
Well, everybody, I think, gets their character, but it's well-written, because I really have a lot of beef with things that are not well-written, and I felt like a lot of the problem with the Arrow was not necessarily the character's fault, but the writing was weak. You know, it was written...
Well, my problem with early Arrow was I thought the actors were all terrible. The guy who plays Arrow, I could not stand him. Like, he's not a terrible actor, but he's just not... I did not like him as that character. And I don't think anyone on that show was a particularly good actor. I think in The Flash, I like all of the characters.
But see, I'm
And I think all of them are acted pretty well.
Yeah, but see, I'm going to say that. I think some of it, though, is the writing. I mean, it's hard when you don't have good writing to do good acting. It is really hard. I think the writing is weak.
The writing in Flash has been really good.
It's been good. Like the characters are complex. you know, there's an equal number of female characters to male characters, and they're complex. They're real people. They interact with each other and with the men in real ways. So it's like a nice balanced show.
And there's actually things going on with characters that aren't The Flash, which I think is
exactly
important.
What you need to make it feel like a real world. Like, it's not going to feel like much of a story if there's only one person who seems to have a three-dimensional life.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about The Flash, is that everybody has a three-dimensional life. Now, the thing I don't like is Supergirl. I liked the characters. I liked a little bit of the writing, but a lot of the writing I felt like was overly expositional in Supergirl. And I felt like in Supergirl, it's lazy in that they don't throw in enough side characters. Like, they keep making, we've only watched season one, but like, they keep making her sister be like this super, I don't know, character filler. Like whenever they need an expert on anything, magically her sister knows how to do it. And it's like, that's not how real life works.
The comic book, right? Like, I'm calling it the comic book writing, but like the writing that involves like the stories of like what's happening and how we're moving from point to point. And Supergirl was terrible.
Exposition.
It was like, oh my goodness, this is happening on this street. How do you know that?
Because we're at a computer
and we know everything.
Exactly. And like, instead of having like a tech specialist who just comes in and has a walk-on role or a walk-on line, like other shows do that. No, this show, it's like they seem to think they can only give three characters speaking parts.
I was ready to stop watching Supergirl, and then John Jones showed up.
Oh yeah, we love John Jones.
Now I have to keep watching.
And I will say I really like what's her name? Allie McBeal. What's that actress's name?
Allie McBeal.
You know, Allie McBeal.
Calista Flockhart.
Calista Flockhart. Yeah, I really like Calista Flockhart's character. And I think she has some very nice feminist speeches and wisdom that she gives in her interactions with Supergirl. But I think the problem is they need more than that. They need people who are better at writing the stories, who are better at filling in the little details for the stories that need to be filled by extra characters. The plots are weak.
I'm excited to see the episodes that Kevin Smith directs.
Oh, that would be good. Does he do that in season two, maybe?
I think it was season two, yeah.
Okay, but that'd be good.
He's an amazing writer. He can write dialogue.
Yes.
He can write amazing dialogue. Like, he could write two people talking about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fascinating.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I hopefully that'll improve. Because I mean, the show's really still enjoyable to watch. It's not like Arrow where I couldn't even keep watching it. But I just feel sad that the writing's a little weak, and I think it needs to step it up.
Yeah. I hope it does.
I hope so too.
I've not been impressed with Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, no. And let me say, I haven't even told you this, babe. My biggest problem with Legends of Tomorrow is that there's only two female characters out of like 10 or 12 on the ship. In the second episode, one of them's knocked out in a coma for the whole episode. So there's only one woman talking the whole time. There aren't any side female characters. There's not any female characters in the background world. There weren't any waiters who were women. I'm just like, come on.
I'm not really a fan of the female characters they have.
No, like, I'm not either. That's like, the problem. I think Shiera could be good, but their writing her is so pathetic.
Well, I don't understand why they went with Golden Age Hawk Girl, because I've never liked that version of Hawk Girl. In Hawkman, I've never liked it, and every time they've done it, and I was surprised that that's the version they went with, because everyone else in the series has been the Silver Age.
Okay.
Because like, you've got Silver Age Flash, you've got I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know. The only thing I really know Hawk Girl from is the animated Justice League.
Well,
the animated
was based off Silver Age, where she's an alien.
Yeah, where she's an alien. Right. I like that. But also in Justice League Unlimited, though, they do get into the reincarnation bit with the Egypt and Hawkman and all that.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. That's in Justice League Unlimited.
I guess they probably did.
But they did it better in Unlimited, because she was resistant to it. She was. And I think they did embrace that a little bit. But it was just like, oh, the Hawkman character was just creepy.
This is the problem DC has with anything when you like the Timverse animated series, it's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
The writing
yes.
is so amazing on that show. And yes. I know it's just a kid's show, but it was so good. You're going to be compared to that anytime you write these characters.
Yeah.
And
yeah. So anyway, that's our spiel on all the current superhero TV shows right now.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to end it here. We're almost up to an hour.
Yeah.
But if you've made it this far, thank you very much.
Thanks for
listening. Check out our website. We have the link to all the available animals.
And let's tell them what our website is. TheNerdyRat.com.
TheNerdyRat.com.
Yep. And check out the show notes. We'll have all the links for everything we talked about in this episode.
After we upload this episode, shortly after that, I should hopefully have us up on iTunes and Google Play. And Stitcher, I think, is the other podcasting place you can listen to us on. Please remember to spay and neuter your pets.
That's right. Spay and neuter your pets. Thanks, Bob Barker. And if you are so inclined, please make a donation to Small Angels Rescue, which we have a link for.
If you like the podcast.
Yes. We're not raising money for ourselves.
Please donate to one of our charities, either Extra Life or Small Angels. And thank you very much.